Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a podcast where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell our stories, you tell your stories, you call up, tell your stories. We are all in this moment together. We're bringing levity to your day and our day. We're here to laugh with you. We're here to cry with you. We're here to cringe with you. We're here to celebrate embarrassment. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Katie.
Let's turn Beat Red.
That was weak.
That was delayed. Oh my God, you beat me. Look at you.
I know. Look, I've learned a few things from you. I've learned for the best.
I had a pretty great week. I just got back from New York yesterday. I was there for just a couple days because it's a short little 4-hour drive, which is nice. I went I've never been to TED, to the TED headquarters. I don't know if you have. Have you ever been to a TED Talk? Very exciting. So I went to the TED headquarters. It was a creator workshop that they had, and it was actually all around like global warming and really amazing topics. And I got to meet Patagonia, the drag queen star superstar. Loveliest. Such a sweet, lovely person. Like before she was going on to talk, like she came right up to me. She hugged me. She was like, I love your outfit. And just so sweet and genuine. And she was like, you're here for a reason and go talk to people. If you see anyone who like isn't talking to anyone, like look for them, like look for the person that looks like insecure or lonely. Like they're just so sweet. And I was like, what a kind person. And
yes.
I got to tell you, after going to 8 million LA events, like this New York event was a breath of fresh air because in LA, people can be bitches.
Yeah.
Other creators in the like influencer scene, which is not my scene, and I never intended on being an influencer in the first place. But, you know, you go to these events because you have to network and you have to be there, have to do it. But yeah, I learned a lot. I've met a lot of really cool, really sweet, genuine people that I look forward to forming friendships with. And yeah, it was very cool. And I learned like just really, you know, I didn't know that 80% of recycling basically gets thrown away and doesn't get recycled if it doesn't have a 1 or a 2 on it. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? And that if you are recycling something that isn't actually recyclable as when it comes to plastics, I'm just talking about plastics only, that the whole bag basically it's not able to be recycled. So you do kind of need to be aware of if you are recycling products that are actually recyclable when it comes to plastics.
Oh, man.
And there's certain like municipalities where it's not affected, like probably larger cities, I would say. But yeah, look it up and see if it's a 1 or a 2, they said, if it's a 1 or a 2, that it can be recycled. And everything else plastic pretty much can't and ends up in landfills anyway. So plastic's a problem. And we knew that already.
Well, there's a company called Ridwell, which is you put all those little bottle caps and whatever can't be recycled into this bucket.
Ooh.
And they come around and they pick the bucket up and they make furniture out of the plastic that is in those buckets.
Oh, that's amazing. I've never heard that. And that's so cool.
Ridwell.
And I learned that gas-powered leaf blowers, like, I don't know the exact statistics here, so I'm not going to be correct, but, like, they're more harmful than, like, flying a jet, like, around the world or something to that effect, like, using leaf blowers for a couple hours. Like, they're gas-powered, not electric, but gas-powered. So, yeah, try to do your part, people, for the environment, you know? Like, I'm learning, like, you can change out your lights to those LEDs, like, ways to conserve energy, to help the planet. Like, it's important, and it definitely, like, you know, it's things that I've obviously thought about for a while, but it triggered something in me where I was like, okay, I want to learn more about this. I want to do more about this. Like, I want to incorporate more of this into, you know, what I'm saying and what my voice is. And yeah, I do want to leave a better planet for my child than I had. And I hope that future generations continue to do that, you know?
Well, they're going to have to. They're going to be standing on a melting iceberg as it sinks into the ocean. There's no easy way to say this. I mean, we're fucked. Sorry.
Yeah.
We're not fucked.
I was listening to like all this stuff from, you know, people were speaking from EDF and like all of these places, and they were saying that we actually have decreased the ozone, which is amazing because, you know, when we were kids, it was like the ozone is, you know, melting away and we're all going to die. Yeah. But like we have shrunk the size of it dramatically. So that is exciting.
Yes,
so there is some forward progress that's happening. Obviously, the move to solar. But yeah.
I will say that my shampoo are these two bars, and I get them from the Earthling Company, and they're amazing.
Okay.
And I use dry.
Oh yeah, the shampoo bars.
Sheets for laundry. Little laundry sheets. They're called Earth Breeze, and they are amazing. You basically just take a little. It's a little square. Mm-hmm. And you put it in your laundry, and it totally works. It's
amazing. That's awesome. These are little changes, little things. Tiny, so see, I didn't mean changes. To fully turn into a climate change podcast, but
no, seriously. Oops.
But
like,
I just
talk about poop.
I got so inspired when I was there, and it was really really filled my soul a little bit being walking around New York. It's such an energizing city, and like I don't feel like I could live there, to be honest, but it really does energize me for a few days, and I love visiting.
Well, I think that you're so I did live there for 3 years, and mm-hmm. you would fit in really well because it is a tough hang sometimes because, you know, people are punching themselves in the face on the subway and you're like, what are you doing? That's not what happens
part
all the time.
Is the that's the deal breaker for me.
Well,
and
I
driving
get that.
In New York is a freaking nightmare. So yeah, I'm like,
so
you want to
many...
feel alive? Go drive in New York because I almost
but
got hit by 8 million bikes. 8 million
on the
freaking people.
Upper West Side with your beautiful outfits going down to the theater at like 80 years old. You've got your post office one block away. You got your grocery store two blocks away. You know, your neighbors are checking on you and you are just going out to these fun, you know, all the museums, all the galleries, all the theater, the productions, everything there's so much art there that I just think you would be really inspired.
I mean, I could have a like penthouse there or a brownstone and just visit. But for me, it's like, I love nature. I love trees.
Yeah.
I need them. They fill my soul. Like that's the part of New York that I couldn't live with, you know? It's like,
yeah,
I need nature, like really, really badly. I know I seem fully like a city girl, but I do need nature. And
well,
yeah.
And you were out in LA for what, two, like 20 years?
24
I was
years.
I've been out here forever. And I moved mm-hmm. when I was 30 to New York. And I missed grapefruits and avocados and driving a bicycle on the beachfront, which I only did maybe five times the entire time I lived in LA.
You couldn't get
but
grapefruits and avocados?
Oh,
they just weren't
no.
the same. Just not. I mean, California produce is phenomenal. It's true.
Yeah, they weren't the same. I mean, yeah, they were just like frozen somewhere along the road. And I don't know, it just didn't taste the same way.
Mm. How was your week?
It was fine. It was good. I watched Project Hail Mary, which I highly recommend.
What is that?
You have to take Sebastian to see that. It's the Ryan Gosling movie. Mm. You have to go. It makes you feel good.
It's rated
PG? It's environmental. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
It is.
What's it about? I don't know anything about it.
Well, I don't want to give anything away because
okay.
you just have to go see it. It's
okay.
It will make you feel good. It will make you feel so good.
I love
it's
that.
It's very, I haven't left the theater feeling that way since I saw like Jurassic Park when I was a kid.
Wow.
I left, I'm like, oh my God, what have I just seen? This was so wonderful. And you just have to give over to it. It was a movie where I always try to make sense of movies and I drive John crazy because I'll be like, oh, I don't know. How is this happening? Like, oh, we're supposed to believe that person has no emotions inside. I don't think so. You know, or like, you know, just whatever. If it doesn't add up, I'm over it.
Yeah.
This
it's hard
movie,
to suspend your disbelief, as they
yes,
say.
And
yeah.
you have to do that with this movie.
Okay.
That's
I mean, I don't
say.
Really have a problem doing that with movies for the most part.
That's good.
So, yeah, if it's like weird and out there, like I love that. So I'll check it out.
It is weird and out there.
Yeah.
And I think my nephew went. He's 11. He's Sebastian's age. Mm-hmm. I think he can. My nephew loved it. My nephew
okay.
was just blown away.
I haven't been to the movies in a minute either.
Oh, it's so good. It's best. One of the best movies I've seen in a long time.
Rave reviews.
Because it makes you feel good.
And
that's
we need
it,
that
that's my week.
More than ever in
more than
these
ever.
times.
in these circling the drain times.
Shall we laugh together?
Let's get
Shall
into
we tell
it.
Some stories? Do you want me to
drain.
Start? Do you want to start? What do you want to do?
Start.
I'm
going to
kick us
you
off.
Get
okay.
After it. Yes.
All right, let's do this.
Let's do it.
My first story comes from Quora, and Charlie Pinkerton writes, "In 2013, while sledding with a group of my closest friends from college, I went to the bathroom in my snow pants. I could blame the day drinking or the entire pizza I'd eaten the night before, but the truth is, I was having too much fun to walk all the way home." I'm not proud to admit that on solo skiing adventures in the past, I'd made the same decision with very few real consequences besides lots of laundry and a very long shower. Like, wow.
Oh, my God. That's a special person.
Special. Classes were canceled because of snow, which turned into a major snowstorm, and it was incredible. We could barely hear each other's voices over the roaring wind. As we passed around the thermos of warm whiskey before our first run, I noticed that knock at the back door. Kind of annoying, but I didn't give it another thought until I found myself literally clenching my butt cheeks together to hold back what felt like the mother of all shits. Walking up to this, yeah, you're in the middle of a snowstorm at the top of a ski slope. So you're fucked.
Yeah, you're fucked.
Walking up to the steep slope had gotten to be a painful battle with some very important muscles. What makes me a little different from most people is that I choose to lose that battle.
Yeah, he chose it.
Yeah, he's like,
well, I'm okay with this.
Fuck it. Standing at the top of the hill alone, I relaxed and I shit my pants. No big deal.
You relaxed.
The relief was immediate. I swear, it took one full minute to fully evacuate my bowels. By the time it was over, I realized I'd done a toilet clogging poop, a once in a year poop.
I am never buying snow pants from the Goodwill ever again. That's all I'm going to say.
It was a once in a year poop in the snow pants. Okay. But now you're at the top of the mountain.
A toilet clogging poop.
Yeah.
Unquote.
Okay.
Disgusting.
Yes. It was pretty warm and sticky back there and heavy.
Oh.
I panicked for only a moment while my mates and their new friends trudged up the hill towards me. I hit the whiskey hard and all that worry vanished away. I honestly couldn't smell myself, and I figured either the wind or the layers of long johns and snow pants kept my stink from being really bad.
It's also going to freeze, right? It's going to be like frozen poop on your legs.
Solid, rock solid poop. Totally cool. I sled and trudged and continued enjoying the storm. Okay, he sled. Okay, he's not skiing. So what do you do when you're sledding?
You sit on the poop that's in your pants and it smears everywhere.
You sit
and
down.
And it goes all over you.
Squishy, squishy. Okay?
You're like in a mud soak of your own diarrhea.
I continued just enjoying the storm, sledding as if everything was normal, flying down the hill while secretly sitting in my own filth. No one seemed to notice. I could feel that my entire butt and crotch were fully immersed in what I'd done. But to be honest, it wasn't that bad. After a few more runs, I barely even noticed. I'm like, I cannot even handle that this man is sitting in I'm like gonna barf, the most giant shit of his life.
I stopped breathing for a second. I died.
But he's just sledding with his friends, having fun.
And he's writing about it like, oh, I knew I was knee deep. I knew it was covering my pelvic area.
And his crotch and his ass crack. It's a blowout. He's at a toddler blowout.
In diarrhea soup.
Yes. No, he said toilet clogging, so probably not even diarrhea. I'm so grossed out. Okay. It gets worse.
Yeah. Oh, it's okay. Okay.
How can it? But it does. Then I made a big mistake. I peed a lot.
This guy, there's some kind of kink situation going on here. It's like a, ooh, how much more can I get away
warm,
with?
Warm, it's warm and tingly. Yeah, peed. He peed. He's just,
But it's a white snowsuit, right?
I don't know. He didn't say the color, but also, like, I don't know how snowsuits for men work, but could he have just whipped that out at least? Could you have at least just peed? I guess not. I guess.
No, because his penis is going to come out and it's going to be covered in diarrhea.
That's true. That's true.
And then his hand will be covered in diarrhea.
Yeah. Okay.
So someone's going to see that.
Well, this is so fucking gross. Okay.
Oh my God. I don't even know where we are. What is happening? What year is it?
A lot. I don't think he said.
No, I know.
No, he
right
did.
Now.
He said 2013. Okay.
I feel like
so
I
this
have
was
a 13
years
Go
ago. This was 13 years ago. Okay. If you ever find yourself in a situation like mine, don't do that. The initial warmth felt ironically like slipping into a warm bath. But right away, I noticed there was steam.
Warm baths are ruined.
There was steam coming out of my snow pants. Like, I could see actual steam coming out of my legs.
That is exactly what he deserves.
If I could see it, I'm sure my friends could see it. And that's when the peaceful complacency of my situation vanished.
The snow pant made a run for it. The snow pant was like, I can't take this anymore.
It's
like,
steaming.
Like, SOS.
It's literally steaming. I got paranoid. I wanted to hide. Then my legs got cold, but that wasn't the worst part. For the first time that day, I could really smell myself. It was completely unmistakable in its intensity. I felt like a kid on the playground who'd had a really bad accident that would follow him to the grave. In those moments, I couldn't believe what I'd done. My friends didn't say a word. They passed around a joint and all seemed a little strange, or maybe it was just me. I had to excuse myself and go home, but I had lost my composure. Ben broke the silence by suggesting we all get a pint in town, and that snapped me right out of whatever I was going through. I politely declined, insisted they all have a great time, and I got as far away from them as I could. The walk home was fine. Everything felt cold. I reeked, like really badly. Looking down, I could clearly see distinct wetness down both of my legs. I tried not to waddle, but I know I wasn't walking normally. When I arrived home, both of my housemates were quietly studying in the kitchen. I said a quick hello and ran to the bathroom. The devastation of my pants, underwear, long johns, even my socks was total. I won't go into it, but I ended up throwing all of them away. My housemates said nothing.
Go into it now. It's like, I'm a little bit going to be a little demure about the socks.
That I'm not going to tell you about. My housemate said nothing, even though the whole place smelled like a sewer. I spent the rest of the day drinking in my room, playing video games, wishing I wasn't so gross. My friends never brought it up. I certainly didn't. I felt like I might have gotten away with it until my birthday a few months later. My friends had all chipped in and gotten me an Amazon gift card. On the outside of the card, it clearly read, "To Stinky Charlie."
Oh, Stinky Charlie.
That's your name behind your back. Stinky Charlie.
Did they know?
Yes, everybody knew. He freaking pooped on himself and slid around in it on his butt, smearing it around, and then peed and steam went everywhere. And you could see the pee and you could smell it all. So, yes, they knew.
I just feel like, look, I don't mean to make fun of him. I'm not making fun of him. I'm just like, I mean, this is an incredible story. Because
you're incredulous with the.
He knew like what was going on.
There, he said, "I'm going to do it. Like, I don't care."
He just said, "I'm going to do it."
He wanted the relief.
That is the gem I'm taking out of this poop mine. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, Charlie, you are someone who says, if I'm going to do this, I'm doing it all the way. So good job for you.
Good job, Stinky Charlie.
I really hope you burned everything you were wearing that day.
All of it.
I mean, don't even throw that in the dumpster. Just burn it, bury it in the snow.
Ugh, you ruined it.
Bury it in the snow, burn it. Because, I mean, the saga would continue at the laundromat. It would continue probably even after you brought it home. It was probably still, there's no going back from that.
And you can't really, like, he would have had to go home. He would have missed out on the fun, but, like, because you can't really strip down all those layers in the middle of a snowstorm and, like, poop behind a bush, but. Right. I couldn't have done it, so.
No.
More power to you, Stinky Charlie.
I mean, Stinky Charlie, friends are friends forever, okay?
Yeah, they still loved you. They still gave you an Amazon gift card.
They still loved you.
So that says something.
Yeah. Yep, that says something. Nothing says something like an Amazon gift card. Ding, ding. Oh, my gosh, that was great. Okay, wow. Oh, I feel like I can't come out of that. I can't shake it. The images are too enormous. Okay, so I have two little shorties, okay. So I'll read them both, okay?
Okay.
So this one is from Reddit, and that girl with the locks writes, "So I was walking down the street in downtown Chicago on the loveliest summer day. I walk past these two guys, and right when I'm walking away from them, one of them says to the extent of something like, 'It was so beautiful.' All I heard when I walked by was 'so beautiful.' So I smile all big and giggle in their direction. And one of the guys yells, 'We weren't talking about you, shorty.'"
Oh, no.
Bruh, it is December and I still cringe at how embarrassing it was. So that is so rude, right?
That's mean. You could have just let her think you were talking about her. It's not like she was following you around. So mean.
Who does that? Who does that? Okay, so the second one is,
he's like, "Don't get any ideas. It's not about you.
Like, what are you doing? This just like ruins of someone's day." Scram, you rat. Yeah, exactly. What he just said. Scram, you dirty rat. So, okay, this is the second one. "That time a male nurse knocked on the door just as I'd taken my bra off. I snatched up the gown he'd left, pulled it over my head, and was flailing wildly for the armholes when he politely said, 'Ma'am, that's a pillowcase. You can just drape it over your chest.'" She's just like, just in the pillowcase trying to find the armholes. But her boobs are hanging out.
Yeah. So that didn't work. That didn't work.
That didn't work. Also, why not put the pillowcase on the pillow, please? Thank you.
Yeah. What is going on over there?
What? Yeah. Get your house together. Hospital.
What kind of hospital are you running? Okay. My next story comes from Cora.
Suggestion box.
And Ryder Benno writes, when I was about 14, I was staying at my grandmother's house for a few weeks with my younger cousin, 13 at the time, also male. We did this because my family moved away from that area when I was 12, so it gave me a chance to see my old friends in person and spend time with my favorite cousin who lived elsewhere in the country. The last and first time I stayed with my grandma, I had a ton of fun. Grandma told my cousin and I stories. My cousin and I played video games. We played in the woods near grandma's house, and I caught up and hung out with my friends in the area. Summers at grandma's were awesome. Aww. So one morning, my cousin, for convenience, I'm going to call him John, and I were exploring the woods looking for something interesting. I saw something black moving behind a tree. I assumed it was a cat and told John we should go around the tree and see it. He loved cats. We both went around, and the cat turned out to be a skunk. John screamed, which scared the skunk, who sprayed us and ran. If you've never been sprayed by a skunk, trust me, it sucks. Have you ever been sprayed by a skunk?
I've never been sprayed by a skunk.
Me either.
I'm so scared of skunks.
God, I haven't.
I think that I'm dogs more terrified of skunks than anything.
We had one in our old house at Sunland that like definitely lived nearby, and I would see it in the driveway. One time I came home and it like raised its tail up, and I'm like, no. And I like I waited for it to scurry away before I got out of the car because I was like, I am not getting sprayed. Please don't spray my car. But yeah, so I have not, thankfully, knock on wood, been sprayed by a skunk. Glad you haven't either. Let's keep that record, okay?
Let's keep it going.
Let's keep that record going. John and I smelled terrible, so we decided to go back to Grandma's house to get a shower. When we got back, Grandma was gardening in the front lawn. She heard us and turned around to ask why we were back so soon, but before she could even ask, the smell answered her question. Yeah. She told us both to wait on the lawn while she went inside. A few minutes later, she came back carrying a large gray wash bin full of soap and washcloth, a plastic laundry basket, and two towels. She put everything down, emptied the wash bin, and started filling it with the hose. She turned to John and told him to put all of his clothes in the basket and to sit in the wash bin. He hesitated, but he did as she asked. Grandma began to wash him using the soap. When she was done, she told John to get out and stand next to the wash bin. He did so, and she dried him and wrapped the towel around his waist. She then told him to go wait inside and to not get dressed. After John went inside, Grandma emptied the wash bin and told me to put my clothes in the basket and to get in. At first, I protested. I told her I'm capable of washing myself. She ignored me. She said she'd seen me as naked as a baby, and I shouldn't be any different now. I put all my clothes except my underwear into the basket, and I asked her if this was okay. She said no, because by now the smell would have spread to my genitals.
How old are these guys? 13. Oh, this is not good.
Traumatic. I sighed. I took off my underwear, and I sat in the wash bin. Thus began the most awkward bath of my entire life. First, the wash bin was way too small, so I was sitting in an awkward position. Second, it seems suddenly everyone in the neighborhood decided to take a walk because so many people walked right past me.
Oh, no.
And third, feeling someone else wash my private parts that wasn't me was a weird feeling. The worst part was that a group of older teens walked by while I was being dried against my will, meaning these random teenagers saw me naked. When Grandma was finally done, she wrapped the towel around my waist and we walked inside together. When we got inside, she explained why she did what she did. Long story short, the same thing happened to my dad and my uncle, John's dad, when they were kids. My grandma made the mistake of letting them shower inside. They ended up making the bathroom and their clothes smell like skunk for days. My grandma learned from her mistake with John and I. I ended up staying nude for the rest of the day to prevent the smell from spreading. Before bed, Grandma rubbed some special lotion on us and the smell was gone.
I have to say, why don't you just say to your grandma, could we do this behind the house?
Can we get some privacy? She's shut up, get in the bath. She's like, who cares?
Like, it's just like so.
You're 13. You're like, there's all these teens walking past.
You're just like getting washed on your front yard and everyone's looking at your butt and your genitals. And you're just like, your grandma's rubbing. You're like it's too much.
Your twig and berries are out there for the world to see.
Your twig and berries are just flopping in the wind and you're, you know, smelling like skunk and feeling like skunk in your heart.
Yeah, it's not good. It's embarrassing.
But I get 14. Why she did that, though. It is so embarrassing. Yeah. That's really bad. I hope I never get sprayed.
Never, 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 never,
503.
How can you hate the rain? It's important.
How do you hate the rain? It's so wonderful against your window panes. I came into work an hour or so late. I was an activity director, so I'd frequently go shopping for work, but I was just late because I had an upset stomach. The management team was in a meeting that I was supposed to be in. I stroll in, and my boss asks me where I was. I said, and I thought of this excuse beforehand, mind you, brought a movie with me. I had to get a movie at Blockbuster. My boss was like, oh, okay, and moved on. A few minutes goes by, and this freaking coworker puts the newspaper on the table with the article that says our local Blockbuster has closed its doors. End of an era. My boss looks down and then looks back up at me, and he says, huh, that was pretty funny. So I scrambled and I said, did I say Blockbuster? I meant Hollywood Video. Coworker scoffs and just glares at me for the remainder. Meeting ends. Boss walks out. Still have four other coworkers in the room. And she says, Hollywood Video closed last year, by the way, and walks out.
That is a hilarious, but also, like, how is that your excuse? Because why is you having to get a movie an acceptable reason to be late
it's
for
not.
Work at a meeting? Like,
it's not.
That's yep, so right. funny. Like, it doesn't matter catch. If it was open or closed. I'd be like, bitch, you got work. You don't have time to get a movie. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Get your movies after work. And nobody's open.
Activity director. So maybe it was like work related. She was trying to infer that it was work related, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, this is a while ago because Blockbuster.
Blockbuster.
And
Friday nights. Friday nights.
For what exactly? For those of you listening that don't know what Blockbuster is, you used to have to go to a movie store. You didn't have Netflix. You didn't have HBO. You didn't have any of the streamers. You basically had three channels on your TV and the movie store. And you had a VHS tape recorder mm-hmm. or you had Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And then eventually you had DVD players. And you would just go get a movie and you would have sleepovers and you would all watch the movie together.
And have popcorn.
Stay up all night, play Super Mario Brothers 3, never beat it. All of it.
I beat it.
It's so fun. Did you say you beat it? I beat it.
Damn. I beat it.
I would never beat it.
Okay. What a fun time.
No. It's not meant to be beaten, Katie. You couldn't possibly.
Yeah. Never did it. Never beat all of them. Okay. My next story comes from Cora, and Sarah Poe writes, this happened just before COVID-19 hit. My significant other and I had decided to get a hotel room for a few nights just to relax and spend some time without the interference of the outside world. We got a very decent price on a seemingly nice room with a large two-person jetted tub.
Ooh. Oh, to quote Katie.
Ooh. Ooh. I had just gotten off work and it was late around 1 a.m. as I was bartending at the time. When we checked in, we should have just left then as we waited in the lobby for at least 20 minutes as the front desk clerk was out of her mind, blitzed, and had no idea what the hell she was doing.
I mean, I get it.
Right?
You know what I mean?
It's 1 a.m. She's like, although
like,
we would.
I'm not going to drink tonight. I'm not going to drink tonight.
She's like, shot.
Turns into a pumpkin.
Shot. Okay.
Shot for the remainder of the morning. Is it 2 a.m. yet? Sorry,
she is fucked up. Although then we would still be charged for one night either way, so we just decided to stay. She sent us first to the wrong room, and we walked in to see a middle-aged woman in nothing but a robe sprawled out on the bed. She screamed, and we apologized and shut the door back as fast as we came in. Awkward. Okay, we finally get to our room, and there's an obvious stench of mildew, but we were both tired at this point, so we just agreed we would tell the manager in the morning because we knew the lady working now couldn't help us anyway.
Because she was taking another shot.
Because she was fucked up. We get settled in, and I quickly rinse the tub out to get it filled up, not really paying attention to the inside, just making sure there's no visible hair or anything. I put some body wash in there as it's filling up to make a nice bubble bath.
Oh, nice. I love a nice bubble bath.
A little bubble bath.
A little bubble bath.
I turn a bubble bath. A little bubble bath. I turn
what is going on in your bubble bath?
Little bubble. I was thinking of the Hormone Monster. Did you watch that show? It was so good.
No, I did not.
What is it called? The puberty one with Nick? What's his name? You never watched that show? Oh my God, it's so funny. Anyway,
the puberty one? No.
Yes.
I do know what you're talking about.
It's about puberty and it is so funny. And then the name is completely escaping me. But the hormone monster, she would say,
yes. And what's her voice? Who
it's me, Maya Rudolph.
Maya Rudolph.
She's so funny. I love her. She's hilarious.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Anyway, back to the story. I turn the jets on and they make the loudest, most obnoxious noise like it's going to blow up any second. And by now, it's 2 a.m. I managed to make it bearable by turning the jets down to low and we were at the end of the first hall, so not too many will be bothered. Plus, we paid for this place because we wanted to have fun in the tub, so screw it. We were going to use it. I got in and relaxed for a while, splashing around, and my boyfriend tried to say something to me, but I couldn't even hear him over the jets. They were so loud, so I finally turned them off. We finished our conversation, and I looked down to see something in the water floating around. I told him to turn the big light on, and oh my God, I kid you not, there was a piece of condom in my bathwater, and the bubbles were brown. I'm so grossed out. I've flipping out at this point. I go to jump out and there's hundreds of brown flakes just happily floating in the water with me.
What is that?
In the actual fuck? I freak out and jump in the shower to wash myself off. Then I went to let the water out of the tub. When I inspected the tub closer, I noticed that the brown flakes were coming from the jets. The inside of the jets had a thick brown residue all inside and around them. There were wrappers and floss and hair ties and hair and oh my God, so much hair stuck in the residue. I don't know what the residue was, but I'm thinking it was a mixture of soap and skin flakes, bodily fluids, grease, and dirt. What is happening? We went and spoke to the manager in the morning and got a refund. Needless to say, I will never use a jetted tub at a hotel ever again. Always check around in the jets in a tub.
Check your jets. That is crazy. So do you think that there was just like that no one used those jets?
And no one ever cleaned it. It sounds like no one ever cleaned it. It's disgusting. So it like it's filtering everything, I think, and like sucking, I don't know, some nastiness. Yes. And obviously people were boning in there, but I'm like, they were a condom in the hot tub. And then that like part of it floated out. So you're just like in there with the, I mean, personally, everything. I would never, but like,
no,
I think they said it wasn't supposed to be a nice place. So that's part of it too.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least it wasn't like an 8-year-old being like, "Woo, we have jets in the bathtub, woohoo!" You know, like that's me. That's me as a kid. I would have been like, "We have jets. Let's do it. There's a jacuzzi in here, woohoo!"
With a condom.
So yeah, splashing around with some brown flakes. I thought there was going to be like a dead rat or something, just like floating. Ugh.
So gross,
disgusting. Oh, okay. So my next story is from Reddit and Baskoravoyail. I botched that.
Nice.
Anyway, they wrote, "Certainly most embarrassing moment of mine and Maya's wife. Got my wife an early birthday gift, smartphone, first ever for her. She'd been using some old indestructible Nokia forever. I wanted to bring her into the 21st century, data, social networking, GPS, etc. Her actual birthday rolls around, even though I got her the phone, I had nothing for the actual day. After morning out of bed ritual of shower and teeth brushing, I decided to sexy myself up. Mm. Oil all over me, tie, and some shirt cuffs. I am nude, save for these listed attire. I was going for Chippendales dancer. Call her back. She is rolling in this. Just loves it. Takes a picture with her new phone. Plot thickens. We go fishing, catch a few, head home, fillet, and cook the fish. Truly looks like a gourmet meal. Wife takes a picture of the fish with the phone. It's late now, day's over, wife is off to bed. I decide to stay up and play some video games on the PC. Before she went to bed, she was uploading pictures to Facebook, fishing and the meal, etc. No. First image she uploads is my nude shot.
Oh, no.
It was the prepared fish fillets, now titled Dinner, yum.
That's hilarious.
She thought it was a fish fillet, but it is him in Chippendale cuffs with a bow tie
and a boner.
His wiener hanging out.
A bow tie and a boner. Just Chippendale ready.
Katie, that just killed me.
That's the name of the show right there.
A bow tie and a boner.
That's the name of the show. Sometimes the titles just find us. They really do.
That's what everybody saw. A bow tie and a boner. A bow tie with a side of boner. Okay, that's so funny. Oh, okay, well, how can I continue? Okay, so she puts that bow tie and boner picture up. And it's like, dinner, yum. All of her friends see it on Facebook. Like, she posts it. Can you imagine? Her parents, if they're, you know, still living, they see that, like, dinner, yum. Oh, my God. Like,
calm down, what? You dick gobbler. Just chill. This is not for everyone's eyes.
Calm down, you dick gobbler. Her mom says that to the screen. Okay, whoa. Okay,
I just took a sip of tea and almost spit it out.
I'm just crying over here. Okay. Wife couldn't figure out how to delete this accidental post on the new phone. She's scream running through the whole house to the computer room where I am, kicks me off forcefully. What I see is to my amazement, my nude on Facebook. Already 2 comments. Post deleted. Mission success. Wrong. Post was deleted, not the mobile upload photos to albums. Needless to say, 13 more odd hours later, finding more comments of praise and family disgust. Realize what has actually happened. Can you imagine?
That is
just
so
dick
funny.
And a boner. What was it? Bow tie
and a boner. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. I gotta follow that up. Okay.
Okay, you gotta follow that up.
My last story comes from Cora, and Chrissy Weber writes, while employed at one of the rare office jobs I've held early on in my youth, I used to enjoy the fact that the only uniform it required me to wear was sheer pantyhose and heels with my skirts. I was 19 and rather proud of it. Serves me right. So we've established I'm at work and full of myself. Also, it's the mid-90s. I'm wearing a bodysuit and a wraparound miniskirt, and I have to take an urgent drink too much shitty office coffee dump. Now,
okay.
It must be noted that I am by no means a graceful person, not even when blessed with the most ideal and stress-free of circumstances, much less so while hurriedly trying to drop an unexpected deuce at work during a hasty 5-minute bathroom break. And did I mention the bodysuit, wraparound skirt, and the pantyhose I was encased in at the time?
Yeah.
Bloody hell. But the sheer amount of perspiration-soaked effort demanded by the task of sufficiently disrobing just enough to allow my nether regions unrestricted access to the potty was exhausting. And damn near required a 4-year degree in mechanical engineering in order to complete the steps correctly.
Wow.
Her writing is beautiful. The various unbuttoning and unwinding and divesting myself of certain articles in my clothing so that other pieces of said clothing could be yanked up while another piece of material was needed to be pulled down, or was it the reverse? In any event, I must have got some portion of the steps wrong while trying to solve the Rubik's Cube puzzle presented by undressing myself properly. I could certainly have made the mistake of hauling a bit of goods down, perhaps, when I rather should have been tugging the whole lot of it up, perhaps vice versa. Point of fact, I really don't know what I did so gracelessly in that moment that allowed things to go so terribly, horribly wrong in the precise manner in which they did. Truly, I just don't know, but when I stood up, it resembled nothing more closely than it did something awful, some German or Japanese scat fetish porn meltdown, like a loathsome, live, poo-centric reenactment of Chernobyl's final hours.
Wait, that's what her poop looked like?
That's what the scene
she
looked like.
She just described her poop.
As I attempted to separate myself from my perch on the toilet, I discovered that this was not going to be easy, thanks to the accompanying seat cover, which was still somehow attached to some part of my body somewhere, perhaps making its bid for the world's most poorly timed wedgie. It's also just as likely that I tucked a corner of the paper cover into a fold of my hastily reassembled clothing. But either way, the result was that as I stood up, the whole heaping, stinking, and recently deposited helping of fragrant trouser chili came along with me and unfurled.
Fragrant trouser chili? Yes. Come on!
It unfurled to sploosh and splash all over me.
That's the embarrassment genie. I mean, that is the embarrassment wizard just there being like, oh, you're going to get some fragrant trouser chili all over you.
To make matters worse, I also discovered to my profound horror that the entire time I'd sat there on the porcelain, happily and heartily evacuating my bowels into what should have been, what I legitimately believed was, nothing other than the toilet bowl, in fact, very little of the fecal matter I was expelling actually landed there. Instead, it was all rather efficiently being caught by my various articles of clothing.
That is terrifying.
I don't think I could have managed to coat myself more thoroughly in shit if I had actively set out to do so.
That is awful.
Isn't that insane?
Because there's no big flannel shirt you could wrap yourself in and like take everything else off and like run to your car.
It's on everything, and you're supposed to be taking a 5-minute bathroom break, like an unexpected bathroom break. You're not allowed to be gone from your desk for hours.
Oh.
Slimy loads of malodorous diarrhea gathered in nasty abundance in the many folds of my clothing still attached to me. The whole time I was sitting there, this was happening while I remained blissfully unaware of the literal shit show that was actually taking place below me. When I stood up, I began to realize how unfortunately serious my tactical error was. As I rapidly discovered that a large section of my skirt somehow became stuck beneath me, my bum, and the toilet seat.
As it
remained there the whole time I was shitting, I had in fact been sitting there and directly shitting upon my skirt the entire time.
This is terrifying. I mean, I'm what are you going to do?
She's not like the first guy who was like, I don't give a fuck, I'm going to shit my pants. She was the opposite. Standing up caused my unfurling skirt to dump its heavy payload of filth to rain in hellish fury down my lower back, also slushing disgusting juice down both of my legs, and this was bad.
What is happening?
Followed by worse, as the paper seat cover emerged wet and sopping from the stew of pooled bodily excretions and toilet water, hoisted up out of the swampy bowl of miasma by my butt cheeks before coming to rest in an oozing and dangling mess in between them.
This is a science experiment.
It is.
Like, the way that she's describing it is scientific.
That's why she's like, I couldn't have done this if I tried. Like, it's so crazy how covered in shit she is.
Yes.
This left me no other choice but to spend 45 minutes in that chilly restroom, dressed in only my bra, pantyhose, and heels, scrubbing furiously away on my shit-stained clothing with harsh industrial-grade pink soap granules. And this and that brought it like a memory back. Do you remember in grade school when we had that powdered soap? Like, I fully forgot about that until she said this. And I was like, oh my God, that disgusting powdered soap.
Yeah.
So it's the 90s. She's like scrubbing away with pink granules all over her clothes. And this was only after I'd had first hurried through washing 2/3 of my body with the same abrasive soap, giving myself a quick sponge bath naked in the sink, a mostly successful attempt to be rid of the lovely scent of eau de diarrhea explosive that had been stubbornly clinging to me and refused all efforts to be banished.
Oh my God.
Again, I'm sure that if it isn't already a special DVD in some snobby fecal fetishes collection somewhere in Japan or Germany, then these events could surely serve as an excellent basis for one hell of a poop porno, one that would undoubtedly prove capable of titillating the jaded senses of even the most discriminating. I guess this must be a word for somebody who loves poop, coprophiliac. So that must be a poop fetishizer. It is pretty fucking funny as I visualize it all now. At the time, however, I think I just wanted to run away from my job, butt naked, screaming and covered in feces, hail a cab and head home to shower and cower in shame, never to return to work again. If I had even for 1 minute believed there was indeed a realistic chance that I could have made it off the premises in that condition without being stopped by security, I probably would have quit that day. I'd only been to work for maybe an hour and a half at this point, and I had just gone down the hall to take what was supposed to be a rapid 5-minute restroom break. Nearly an hour later, I returned to the very busy office where the phone lines had been ringing nonstop while I was gone. I was still damp and rather questionably deodorized to face the chilly and puzzled stares of my coworkers, armed with only a "you'll never believe what just happened to me in the restroom" story. Luckily, I wasn't fired.
Oh, that is really good. That was so cinematic.
It was a diarrhea roller coaster.
I could smell that. I mean, that was just so harrowing.
Yeah.
What a harrowing experience.
You can feel her sweat and her just like anxiety rising and that feeling of, oh, fuck, what do I do? Do I just jump out the window and run away? Like, that's what you really
I think I would probably just, I mean, I would want to close the door once I got home that night, I would want to close the door and just like never come back out of my house because that's so terrifying.
Pull the covers over your head. Goodbye.
Exactly. Well, at least her boss didn't walk into the bathroom while that was going on. And probably it was probably a single stall, right? Like a single bathroom.
Yeah. But that adds another layer to it.
Another layer of diarrhea. That was too much diarrhea.
It's a lot of diarrhea.
Wow. That was
a lot
good,
of poop
though.
This episode.
Beautiful writing.
A lot of poop.
There are a lot of people on here that I'm like, wow, this is just a story about when you covered yourself in poop by accident, but you should write.
I'm sure they do. Yeah, there's a lot of brilliant writers out there.
Yeah.
I'm happy when we find them.
Me too. And you know what? The takeaway is that poop follows even brilliant writers. So, okay. My last story comes from Astronaut Jones 68, and they write, "My most embarrassing moment happened while I was working at a camp for the summer. I was a camp runner, meaning that I was the guy that drove into town for whatever reason. At night, I'd sleep in a room with about 10 other guys, and the bathrooms were big and always busy, so I was completely abstinent nearly the entire summer. So one day, I got a call that I had to pick up a camper girl who had been bitten by a spider and take her to urgent care. It was policy that if I was driving a camper of the opposite sex somewhere, there had to be another adult of the opposite sex riding with us. Mm-hmm. The other adult that came with us was this cute girl that I had had a few conversations with prior. I was somewhat sleep deprived at the time, and she knew this. So as she had her camp driving clearance and knew the way to the urgent care, she offered to drive, and I accepted. The camp was in the middle of nowhere, so the ride to the urgent care was pretty long. In that time, I fell asleep. I woke up with my dick hard as a rock and the head of it poking out of the leg of my shorts.
Oh, my God.
Before I was able to get my bearings, I felt a surge of pressure and proceeded to ejaculate onto the glove compartment door. Katie, your face. You have not moved.
It takes a lot to shock me. And obviously, this is what we do. We are constantly telling shocking stories.
Like this. That accidental ejaculation
is, like a freaking nightmare. Asleep.
A cute what is girl it called? Is driving.
What is it called? What is it called when you jizz in your sleep?
Premature.
Yep. No, what is it called?
A wet dream?
Yeah, a wet dream. So it was a wet nightmare.
It was a wet nightmare.
That's
oh my
terrifying.
God. Immediately, I heard both a shriek and a girl yell, "Oh God, holy shit, no." Someone said that from
ew.
The backseat. I turned and looked
at both
girls.
But he's not
girls.
Driving, obviously, because that would be he's,
well, no, other. Because can you imagine? Yeah, he fell asleep while he was driving. No, there was the girl's driving because she's like, she knew he was sleep deprived because the bathroom's always full. He can't sleep.
He freaking fell asleep.
And because he was
got
absent,
a hard on through his shorts and jizzed
and
onto the.
Yes.
Imagine watching that from the back. She was like, what the hell is happening?
She is gauze on her spider bite, just shocked. Both of them had obviously seen what happened and both of their faces were beet red. Can you imagine? Because he's like, it happened so fast.
That is crazy. That is a
the
crazy
car,
story. That's a good
well,
story.
This is the worst.
Okay.
The car was absolutely silent for the next 10 minutes, apart from the sounds of me attempting to wipe up my semen with an old McDonald's bag.
Ew!
That's so embarrassing. It's silent. No one's saying anything because what do you say? You can't joke around. You have to just be like, what?
I mean,
is,
I would say like
happening?
I had a dream or something because otherwise
no,
they're
it
like,
just digs you right deeper.
I feel like you have to address it at that point because everyone's
I mean,
seen
they
it. If
did
no
it.
One saw it, then yeah, you wipe it up fast. But because it's been seen, I feel like he had to address it and be like, I'm
I mean,
so
he
sorry.
Did it
I had a dream. Like, I don't even know what just happened.
But I mean, even saying I had a dream is like clearly it was a sexy dream. You got a boner, dude, and it stuck in your shorts. So
a
first of all,
great story. We
first
want your
of
wet
all,
dream
she's
stories.
Driving, and she
any?
Looks over and she just sees his penis, like a boner sticking out from his shorts. So she's like, oh, and then he like wakes up and then ejaculates, and then he has to do the silent dance of finding the old McDonald's bag and being like. Like wiping it off.
Flay a fish.
It's so embarrassing. And I was nervous to tell that story because I'm like, this is pretty bad.
No, that's a great story. That's one of the
but
best
it's great.
Ones. No, that's one of the
I
best
mean,
ones.
I mean, if that has ever happened to you out there,
give us
you're
your
not
wet
alone.
Dream stories immediately.
Oh, okay. Sure. And that too. Yes.
And that's our
show.
And that's our show.
We hope you loved it. If you did, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn Beat Red, you can email us at beatredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us a coffee, you can go to our Patreon page, which is listed in our show notes. And if you can't beat them,
join them. See you next week.